Today's daf is Mayit Katan Daf Yud, and we are 21 lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Amid Beis, the two dots, Va'oisa Isha Tachshiteh. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Avram ben Gittel Edel, Sara Nechama bas Rus Malka, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, Baruch ben Rachel, Chaya Malka bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel bas Rachel Shendel, Meira Chava Bas Shoshana and Esther Kreindel Bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Doiv Berel Ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So the topic of today's daf is going to be what the primary topic of the first part of Masechtas Maikon has been, and that is things that you are and are not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. And it's predicated on the fact that just like it's aser to do malacha on Shabbos, and it's aser to do malacha on Yontif, it's also aser to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. Major machlokes rishonim, whether the iser malacha on Chol HaMoed is an iser deiraisa, or whether it's an iser derabanan, but kula almaloi pligi, the Gemara, Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, brings three brises, five drashos, that it's aser to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, stating that the Gemara in Chagiga Yud Ches concludes its discussion and its sources for the Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed with a major caveat, and that is that even though it's aser to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, however, the Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed is unique. Masra hachkasov lechachamim, the Chachtaira, quote unquote, gave the Chachamim the right to determine when it's aser to do malacha, when it's mutter to do malacha, which malacha is going to be aser, and which malacha is going to be mutter. And it's for that reason there's a lot of gray area when it comes to the issa malacha on Chol HaMoed. And that's why when it comes to working Chol HaMoed, it's not as black and white as it is on Shabbos, as it is on Yontif. Every single Yid knows that on Shabbos and Yontif, you can't turn on a light. Every single Yid knows Shabbos and Yontif, you can drive a car. Chol HaMoed, it's not nearly as simple. What do you mean? I thought there's an Issa Malacha. Is a Malacha defined as Lamites Malachas? It's Yontif, so Malacha Seichel Nefesh will be Mutter. But still, we know what Malachas are, so whatever you can't do Shabbos, or for sure, whatever you can't do on Yontif, L'chur, you shouldn't be able to do Chol HaMoed. The Teretz is, it's that caveat, it's that asterisk next to this halacha. Masra HaKasav L'Chachamim. And for that reason, we have Masechtas Maikot. We have all these different halachas where we're trying to figure out what I can do, what I can't do. So when did the Chachamim say you are allowed to do Malacha? So the Mishnah Brura in the beginning of Siman Tov, Kuf, Lamed, Kedarke, Bakoidesh, he puts together five categories of melachis that are going to be mutter. Davar Aved, Tzarech Moed, Tzarechi Rabim. But even then, this category is betoich categories, because you're allowed to do malacha if it's a davar aved, but not if it involves tirchi yaseira. We're going to see in today's daf that if you want to do malacha, even where you're allowed to do malacha, you want to do it in a way where it's not going to look like maisa uman. It's not going to look like you're an artisan, you're a professional. Do it maybe with a little bit of shinoi. So even when the chachamim exercise their right to tell you that even though there's an issa malacha, according to many midday raisa, but here you could do malacha, but at the same time with a sensitivity to the fact that today is a yom kodesh, today is mikra'i kodesh, and as a result, don't do malacha in the same way you would do malacha if it was a regular weekday. So with that backdrop, we're going to go through a lot of technical halachas related to iser and heter malacha on Chol HaMoed. And like in so many sugyas hashas, the cases, the actual exhibits of the Mishnah and the Gemara are not things that are so applicable bizman hazeh, simply because the world changed so much since the times of the Mishnah and since Tam Iram was sitting in Babylonia and Pumpadisa and in Harda and Sura, and they were writing the Talmud Bavli. But the Yesoidis, the principles, are principles that are lenetzach netzachim, and that's why there have been tshuvas written b'meshach hadoros, trying to apply the cases of Chazal, cases that we're going to struggle to even touch, and relate them to more modern and more contemporary times. So with that introduction, the Mishnah said, "Va'oisa isha tachshiteh b'moed." A woman is allowed to apply tachshitin on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda said, like tasud, she shouldn't apply any lime to her skin, mipnei shenivul hula, because it's going to cause her to feel menuvel, it's going to cause her to feel disgusting. Says the Gemara, a braisa that expounds and elaborates a little bit on the very, very short words of the Mishnah. So, va'oisa isha tachshite, zokti gemara, tanu rabbanu, we learned to the brayza, elim tachshite nashim. The following is a list of tachshite nashim that a woman is allowed to apply on Chol HaMoed. Number one, kecheles, she can put eye makeup on. Ufaykeses, Rashi says, she can part her hair, she can comb some of her hair one way, the rest of her hair the other way. Umavira srak al panel. Additionally, she's allowed to put makeup on her face that's going to make her face look red. Ikuda amri. Others say, what does mavira srak mean? Mavira srak al panel shalmata means that she's allowed to take a sakin. She's allowed to take a razor to remove hair from oisa makim. To visit Rav Chisda, mekashet bam bikalasa. Rav Chisda's wife was being mekashet. She was putting on tachshitim. It was Chol HaMoed, and she did it in the presence of her daughter-in-law. Also, Rav Huna bar Chinna came to Rav Chisda. Rav Huna bar Chinna at that time was sitting in front of Rav Chisda. V'yasav v'kamar, and he said over the following that loishanu. Even though it says in the Mishnah that a woman's allowed to put tachshitim on Chol HaMoed, but that's only true for a yalda. That's true for a younger woman. Avol zekena, a woman that's already older. So for her, the tachshitim don't have the same effect. Loi, she's not allowed to. Amale. So Rav Chisda told Rav Huna bar Chinna, ho eloi kin. I swear, a loshen shvuah, afilu imach, even your mother would be allowed to put on tachshit on Chol HaMoed. Vafilu ima di imach, and even your grandmother, your mother's mother. Vafilu emedes al kivra, and even if she was literally standing with one foot in the grave, even then it would be motet. Amri inchi, because people say, bas shisen kevas shis lekol tavla rahata. A woman that's 60 years old will run to hear music just like a girl that's 6 years old will. Meaning, a woman is never too old. So this halacha of the Mishnah va'isa isha tachshiteh, Rav Chisda said, doesn't matter who the woman is, it's always going to be true. Rav Yehuda said, like toss. He said, I agree, a woman's allowed to be isha tachshiteh. Rav Yehuda agrees with the basic premise of the Mishnah. However, he said, like toss, to apply lime, not. So why did women apply lime? So we'll give it away, the Gemara is going to say, they used to put it on their skin to remove hair. So Rabbi Yehuda said that even though in theory that's an example of being oisa tachshiteh, but on Chol HaMoed you shouldn't do it. And he even gave a reason. He said, mipnei shen nivel hula, because it's going to cause her to be menuvel, it's going to cause her to be disgusting. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda said, isha lo tasav, mipnei shen nivel hula. Exactly, verbatim what it said in the Mishnah. But the Braisa is always wordier than the Mishnah's. And here too it is. Maida Rabbi Yehuda says the Braisa Rabbi Yehuda was maida v'sitchi chayla l'kaifle b'mayit, that if this is a type of line that you could remove on Chol HaMoed, and that she's gonna remove on Chol HaMoed, that shetoifle sa b'mayit, she can do it. Because even though right now in the short term it's going to cause her to feel menuvel, but when she removes it, she's going to feel good about herself, and it's for that reason it's okay. And really what the Brais is saying is a little bit of a chiddush in halacha. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not allowed to put sid on your body. Why? Because even though long term it's going to have a positive effect, but right now not. And right now, you're not enhancing your Simchas Yontif. To the contrary, you're detracting from your Simchas Yontif. Abazok Rav Yehuda. What if on Yontif itself, you're going to benefit from the Sid? Then it's okay. Meaning on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do something that in the short term is going to cause you a little bit of distress and anguish. As long as in the longer term, on Yontif itself, you're going to have Simcha. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. So if you're putting on the Sid and you're not going to have the benefit until Nuch Yontif, then you can't do it. But if on Yontif itself, you're going to benefit from it, Rabbi Yehuda said it's going to be fine. So the Gemara says, Misle the Rabbi Yehuda is Svara. It's a very nice Svara. A Chiddush maybe. But does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to this Svara Batana? We actually have information about Rabbi Yehuda himself in a different context, but you see from that context, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold to this idea. What's this Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah. It's actually a Mishnah in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, Dav Beis Amar Aleph. The very first Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Nifra Mehen, Mepnei Shem Meitzar Hulai. So the context over there is the halacha that a person is not allowed to do business with an oyved avodah zarah biyoyim etam, on the day of their chag. And the reason is because we're afraid that if you're going to benefit an oyved kechavim in any way, shape, or form on his chag, he's going to attribute his good fortune to his avodah zarah, which is going to cause him to bless his avodah zarah. It's going to come at you, the yid, when machshel the eni yehudi worshipping avodah zarah, lifnei iver lo sitei michshol, v'shem elihim acherim lo saskirun. There's different ideas. The first sugya mesechta avodah zarah, and it's for that reason you're not allowed to do it. So Rabbi Yehuda said that what if a person has a kuti or an eino yehudi, a person of this sort, that that owes him money. So niframeh, that kind of transaction is going to be okay. And the reason is because you're asking him to repay a loan. That's not a good thing. He's not going to be happy. He's going to have to write a check. So being that he's not excited about that, so that's something that you're allowed to do. They told Rabbi Yehuda, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, even a person that's not happy about the fact that he has to pay the loan, today he's not happy, but eventually he's going to be besimcha about it, because eventually he's going to realize that it's okay. So they told Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowing the Yid to do business with this Oved Avodah Zarah B'yom Edom in the event that the business means he's going to have to pay back a loan. Why? Because it's tsar. Shouldn't you take into account the fact that later is going to be besimcha? Rabbi Yehuda didn't hold of that. So what do you see? Rabbi Yehuda holds, I don't care about what's going to be later. Right now, it's tsar. So right now, I don't look at it as a davar shel simcha. So right now, it's something I hold. You're allowed to do it. And Rabbi Yehuda avodah zarah. This is mamish the principles, the yisoy that we're discussing in our Mishnah. Now, here we're discussing halacha related to Chol HaMoed, but same concept. You're going to apply Sid that in the short term is going to cause Sar, in the long term it's going to cause Simcha. Rav Yehuda in the Braisa says, put Sid on, even though I don't allow you to, as long as on Yontif you're going to be able to remove it, because I don't care about short term pain if there's long term gain. But yet, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Beis Aman Aleph, you see just the opposite. You see that Rav Yehuda is the one that says that it's okay short term pain. I don't care about the fact that this is going to be long-term game. So it's a stira. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda said in Hilchas Chol HaMoed to Halacha Rabbi Yehuda said in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. So the Gemara says two terus. The first terus was Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Anach Hilchas Moed. The kulu meitzarach shavasameach la'achas maninu. It's true. Ordinarily, Rabbi Yehuda says that if something's going to cause you tsar in the short term, even if it's going to cause you simcha in the long term, we look at the short-term pain. But Chol HaMoed is different, because Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to bake. On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do many, many things that are going to cause a person short-term tsar. The fact that something's causing you short-term tsar should not be a reason for you to not be allowed to do something on Chol HaMoed. Because if that was the case, you wouldn't be able to cook, you wouldn't be able to do anything. So really, all Hilchas Chol HaMoed, everything that we allow you to do, involves a little bit of short-term pain. So you're going to tell me this is a little bit longer. You see, when it comes to Hilchas Chol HaMoed, it's not something that we're sensitive to. Ravina said, Nachru linyan perayin l'aylam meitzer. Ravina says, no, l'aylam Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you always have to look at the bigger picture. And if that's the case, you should have to look at the bigger picture when it comes to Hilchas Avodah Zarah as well. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the whole premise of the Chacham. The Chachamim tainet that if you force the Avodah Zarah to pay you now, right now he's bitzar, but tomorrow he'll wake up in the morning, he'll have an oil off him because he knows he paid off the loan, he's going to feel good. Nishtemis, the Avodah Zarah is going to wake up tomorrow, he's going to be just as ungazetz. You know why? Because in his mind, he was going to finagle somehow or another, he didn't think he was paying back this loan. So there's short-term pain and there's long-term pain. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't take into the account the fact that later maybe he's going to be besimcha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda the Amayra said. So we go from Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, to Rabbi Yehuda the Amayra, who was a Talmud Muvik of Rav, a Talmud Muvik of Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda said, "Bnois Yisrael shekilu pirkan, Bnois Yisrael, Jewish girls, when they reach the age of pirkan, meaning they already reached the age of puberty, the age of Shtei Cyrus, v'loi higiyu l'shanim, however, they didn't yet become bas mitzvah. So aniyo is meaning they're maturing, but not of the age of bas mitzvah yet. So the poor girls, they wanted to remove their hair because they were too young, they felt, to have these sirus. So they would remove it with sid, using lime. Ashiris, the wealthier girls, they would remove it using flour. But ois melachim, the very, very wealthy girls, b'shemen amar, they would use shemen amar. Shenema, shish chadashim, b'shemen amar. You find that all the basulois, before they met with Achashverosh, so they would immerse their body in shemen amar. So you see, there's a concept of using shemen amar to remove these hairs. My shemen amar, what is it exactly? That's a certain type of oil. It's olive oil. It just hasn't developed yet a full shlish. So it's underdeveloped olive oil. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, and picking nine shemen zayis shlohevi shlish. And picking nine is shemen zayis shlohevi shlish. Why do people smear it? Because it removes serum adenes habasar and it causes a person's skin to glow. Rabbi had a daughter, Tafla Aver Aver. And Rabbi's daughter took this and picinoin and she smeared it on her body one aver at a time. And because of that, it made her skin glow. And when it came time for her to get married, Shakaba Dalid Meyazuzi. So she was able to get a ksuba of 400 zuzim, meaning because she looked very, very nice. There was a nachri, there was an enihudi that lived in the neighborhood. He also had a daughter, and he saw Rabibi's daughter the way she looked, and he found out why she looked that way because of the fact that she used this on picking noin. So he figured, let me do the same thing to my daughter. But tafla b'chad zimna, instead of doing it aver, he applied it on his daughter b'chad zimna in one shot, umesa, and she ended up dying. Amar, and this nachri walked around the neighborhood saying, katla bibi labarti. Bibi, Rav Bibi caused my daughter to die. I'm Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said, Rav Bibi, the Shasi Shichra, Rav Bibi, who used to drink a lot of beer, Bayin Bansei Tfeila, his daughters needed to have this. Rashi says, because Shechar is Megadol Seir. Beer causes hair to grow. Anan, however, Rav Nachman said, the Loisha Sinan Shichra, we don't drink beer, Loi Bayin Bansei Tfeila, this is not something that we have to do. Meaning, is there a Meiser Rav that you're supposed to take away from Rav Bibi? And that's Rav Nach, everything is Torah. So Rav Nachman said, no, there's no Meiser Rav. Rav Bibi, for him, this was a necessary thing because of the fact that he used to drink sheikher, as opposed to a regular person who doesn't drink as much sheikher as Rabibi. So this whole maisa is really not something that's applicable. So going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah discussed another halacha in Hilchos Cholamoid, the last halacha. The Mishnah said, second to last, ha-hedyeh toifer kedarka, a hedyeh, someone that's not a professional, is allowed to sew kedarka. So if you want to sew on Cholamoid, you can. Assuming it's letzairich, but that's something that you're allowed to do. And you can do it kedarkoi v'ho'umin. However, if you're a professional tailor, so then you can't sew kedarkoi, but rather machlev. So you have to do it with some sort of shinus. It says the Gemara. Number one, we have to define the different terminology of the Mishnah. Hedyet umen. Hechidami hedyet. What is a hedyet? Amri debay Rav Yane. So Rav Yane is a yeshiva that used to say, kol she'ini yochel lohitzi meloi machat bevas achas. Someone that isn't able to sew many stitches with one swoop, that person is considered a hedyet. If you can, you consider an umen. Reis Rav Chanina amar kol she'ini yochel lechav an imra bechafas chaluka. Any person that doesn't know how to make a very nice hem on the bottom of his rekel, that person is considered a hedyet. If you know how to make the nice hem, that's okay. So we know what a hedyet is. We know what an umen is. Now, what's the halacha? A hedyet is toifer kedarkoi. An umen can't be toifer kedarkoi. What does he have to do? He has to be machlev. Okay, next definition. V'umen machlev. My machlev. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said mafsia. So mafsia is usually a word that you find in the context of walking, taking a psia gasa. So mafsia means you take large steps. In the context of sewing, it means you sew wide stitches. Rabbi Bar Shmuel Amar Shinei Kalbasa. The word machlev is from the Lashon Kelev. Just like the teeth of a dog, they're uneven. Some are longer, some are shorter. So what you should do is you should make the stitches or some wider, some narrower. The point is you do it with a shinoi. And if you do it with a shinoi, it's going to be okay. So again, what did the Mishnah say? Hahedyet is toifer kedarkoi. And the umen is machlev. So number one, we had to define hedyet and umen. And number two, we had to define machlev. We know what kedarkoi means. That's easy. So what's a hedyet and an umen? A hedyet is either someone that doesn't know how to do many, many stitches and ein shis, or a hedyet is someone that doesn't know how to make a nice hem. Person that doesn't know how to do those things, he's the umen. Okay? The umen, what's his halacha? He has to be machlev, vos meit machlev, either psio iskasois, it means very wide stitches, or when it means is miloshen kelev, the stitches should be uneven. So the hedyet could do what he wants, because it's not ma'aseh umen anyways. The umen, who's, if he does it the right way, it's going to come out, kedas v'kedin, it's going to be l'shem l'sefaris. So that type of person, he needs to be sensitive. It's chalamites, even though we're letting you sew, which is one of the lamatas malachas. We're allowing you to do it. Obviously, it's because of, it fits into one of the exceptions to the rule. But at the same time, here's a very broad caveat that you have to be sensitive to when you do malacha, and that is, it shouldn't be ma'isa omen. So the Mishnah said, and concluded, umesargin es hamitos. You're allowed to apply ropes to beds. Rabbi Yossi Amr Mematchin. Rabbi Yossi said you can't be Masareg. What you could be is you could be Memateach. So number one, what are we even talking about? Who has ropes on their beds? So today, on the bottom of your mattress, your bed is going to have springs. That's where your mattress lies. Board springs, but springs were certainly common. Once upon a time, in lieu of springs, people had ropes. So the ropes really accomplish what the springs are supposed to accomplish. So we have a machloik, because if someone's making a bed on Cholamoid, you could see why this would be Letzayrich Moed. You can't do it on Shabbos and Yontif, but on Cholamoid, we're Masr Nakasav Lechachamim, it's something you could do. Okay, so how do you do it? Machloik is, Tanakama, Chachamim say Mesargin. Rabbi Yossi says no Mesargin, but rather Mematchen. Zok the Hilige Gemara. My Mesargin, umay Mematchen. Again, even the Gemara felt like it had to go through and explain the definition. Sometimes you have a word, you don't know what it means. Rashi tells you what it means. Sometimes the Gemara has a whole sugi to tell you what it means. And we're about to see, we're going to have a whole Amid Gemara, Poshet defining the words. My Mesargin, what does that mean? My Mematchen, what does that mean? Yes, Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omar, he came back, right? Rav Dimi spent a lot of time in Eretz Yisrael, learning by Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Avoh, and he would come back and he would say over different things that he heard in Eretz Yisrael. So one of the things they asked, Nu Rav Dimi, do you know Pshan in this Mishnah Ma'ikon? First paragraph Ma'ikon, Misargim Ematchin, right? Amiram didn't know what these words meant. So he said, well, did you hear Pshat? So this is what he said, Pligi bar Rav Chiya bar Rabbi Rav Asi. I know it's a machloik to Rav Chiya bar Rabbi Rav Asi, v'travai mishmei the Chizki Rabbi Yochanan, and they both said their respective positions in the name of Chizki Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, what did they say? I don't know who said what, but I can tell you the two opinions. Chadama one said, Mesargin means shasi ve'erev. It means you have ropes and you interlace the ropes. So shasi are the vertical ropes and the erev are the horizontal ropes. So you let them, Mesarig means you could do it gehedig. You could do it normal. You can make shasi, you can make erev, that's what you're allowed to do. What's umematchin? That's a lesser darga. Shasi below erev. So you'll have the longer ones, you'll have the vertical ones, but you're not going to have the horizontal ones. V'chadam, and the other one said, no, misargin means shasi below erev. Even misargin means shasi below erev. Nobody allows you to do shasi erev. So misargin means you can do the shasi without erev. Umematchin, what does that mean? Shem hayu rafoi, in the event that you had the ropes there, but they were a little weak. The matra, you can stretch it out a little bit, you can make it a little bit tighter. Ani for the Gemara, is this all true? But Tani Rechtaf Chlifa Bar Shal. Rechtaf Chlifa Bar Shal said the following. Mishavin, everybody agrees. Meaning, even though we have a machlikus in the Mishnah, Misargin, Mematchin, but one thing everybody agrees, Shemafshilin Chavon Lekatchila. That you're not allowed to go to Katchila and make ropes. So you want to be Misarig it, yeah, according to the Chacham. You want to be Mematheach it, for sure, according to the Chachamim, and even Rabbi Yossi allows you to do that. But you want to be mafshilin the chavolim. You want to make it from scratch. You want to literally braid the ropes. That's not something you're allowed to do. So the Gemara asks Moirdik, Bishleim elamandam and misargin shasi ve'erev. Bishleim kunt elamandam that says, what's misargin? You're doing it vertical and horizontal. Umematchin and shasi below yerev. Hanudiko, Tani Rav Tachlifa bar Shal v'shal v'shay mafshilin chavolim lekatchila. Meaning, even the Chachamim that was super makel on the Mishnah, even the Chachamim that allowed you to do shasi ve'erev, but they're going to agree that you can't go and do a lekatchila. You can't make it from scratch. Elamandam and misargin shasi below yerev. But the kunt elamandam that says, that what does misargin mean? It means shasi below yerev. And what does mematchin mean? Shem hayu rafi hayu mematchoi. That it just means that you're allowed to tighten it. If you're going to tell me, even Shasi V'Erev you're not allowed to do. Who said that? The man that said Masargin is Shasi B'Lo Yerev holds that Shasi V'Erev is not going to be okay. So certainly you can't be Mafshilin. So I need Rav Tachlifa Bar Shal to tell me V'Shovin She'ein Mafshilin Chavolim L'Tachlifa. You can't even do a shasi ve'erev. So again, Bishlam had coined mandam that says Masargin is shasi ve'erev. So I understand a brisa that told me that you're not allowed to be mafshilin. You can do shasi ve'erev, but you can't do more than that. What's more than shasi ve'erev? To actually play the ropes. But according to the mandam, it says he can't even do the shasi ve'erev. So kal v'chomer, you can't be mafshilin. So why do I need a brisa to tell me shasi ve'erev? From the fact that the brisa says you can't make the ropes l'katchila, you see that you could do the shasi ve'erev. Because if you couldn't do the shasi ve'erev, tell me better. Tell me you can't even do the shasi ve'erev. So it sounds like a good kasha. And the Gemara says, it is a good kasha. In fact, the Gemara says, kasha, which in English means, I hear. It's a good kasha, it is a teretz, but I hear. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, lu Rav Chiya bar Rabban. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok told Rav Chiya bar Rabban. He said, mi ikel amanda amam misargin shasi b'loy erev. So again, we have a machloikis, what misargin means. Does misargin mean shasi v'erev, or does it mean shasi v'loy erev? We also have a machloikis, what mematchin means. Does mematchin mean shasi b'loy erev? If misargin means shasi v'erev, mematchin means shasi b'loy erev. If misargin means shasi b'loy erev, mematchin means that you just memateach it. But says the Gemara, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok told Rav Chiya bar Rabban, I overheard this conversation. Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael, as if to say there's a man that holds that Misargin is Shasi below Yerif. Nobody can hold that. But tonight it's a Mishnah. Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. Rameo says, Hamita, when is a bed Mekabel Tumah? Misha Yisroig Bo Shloisha Batim. When you Misarig, three Batim. Now Batim over there means not three houses, it means Shloisha Batim Nirin of Lamites Melachis fame. But here's the point. Batim Nirin has shasi ve'erev. So if we're using the word Mishay Yisroig, in the context of Batei Nirim, that means to be Masarig means to have a Shasi Ve'erev. So it's Mefurash HaMishnah. Mishi Yisrig means Shasi Ve'erev. Eloki Yasser Ravin. So the Gemara does what it often does. Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. He brought back halachas, and the Amiram were a little bit confused. And then Ravin came a little bit later, and Ravin would sometimes come and he would report a little bit differently, and that gave a lot of clarity to the Amiram that were discussing this issue. So when Ravin came later from Eretz Yisrael, so he said over a little bit different. He said, B'misargin kulam alo plik the Shasi Ve'erev. No, I heard in Eretz Yisrael, no one ever argued about Misargin. Misargin is Shasi Ve'erev. And like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said, it's a Mishnah Masechtes Kelim. Eloki pligi, you know what the machlokes was? Only b'mematchin. That's the only thing they were arguing about. Marsava, one man number said, b'mematchin means Shasi B'layerev. It means Shasi B'layerev. Marsava, the other man number said, Shem hayu rafui b'mematchoy. So no one argued Misargin. The Mishnah says Misargin, it's a Mishnah in Kelim. We know exactly what it means. It means Shasi Ve'erev. That's what you're allowed to do. The Shaila was Rabbi Yoisi. Rabbi Yoisi said, you're not allowed to be Misarg. What could you do? B'mematchin. And that was the question. Does Mematchim mean Shasi B'layerev, or does it mean Mematchim? Freak the Gemara, I have a cash on this too. Meisave, Misargin is a mito, a braisa. You're allowed to be Misarg, the mito, the insor, chloimish, and Mematchim. If you're a mayor, Meir says you could be Misargin, and certainly you could be Mematchim. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Mematchim, Avaloi Misargin. That's Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. The Yesh Oimrim ain't Mematchim Kolikr. And there's a man, Domar, a third shita that we have now for the first time, who holds you can't even be mematchin. So the Gemara says like this: Bishleim elamand amem mematchin shasib loyerev. Bishleim koin to mandam that says mematchin shasib loyerev. Haynu da also yeshayim leflugi. I understand why there would be a shita that holds you can't even do that, because even that is too much malacha for cholamoid. Elo lamand amem shem hayu rafay mematchin. But a koin to the mandam that says that, what does mematchin mean? That if it was rafay, you're allowed to go ahead and be memateachit. So what's the kasha? Then liyesh oimrim mematchay nami loy. You're gonna tell me there's a mandama that holds you can't even stretch it out? Even that's not something you're allowed to do? Sounds hard to believe. You're right. In Rabbi Yossi, who says you could be mematchin, so maybe it means you could do a shasi ve'erev. Maybe it means mematchay. That's all it means. But if there's a mandama that says you can't be mematchay, it can't be. It's a second shot. There's no one in the world that would hold you can't do that. Well, it's not true. And yeah, there is a mandama. So da yesh oimrim, because given the efshalim amle mitmani leitarchina. Meaning, why did the Gemara assume it's impossible that nobody will allow you to do it? Because it's for sure tzayrich ma'id. You need a bed. So what are you going to do? And you're allowed to do malacha, masar kosav l'chachamim. So you would think, well, you're supposed to sleep on the park bench? No, you should be able to do it. But the Gemara says, no, it's not true. There is another way. There is another eitzah. And because there's another eitzah, so it's not muchach that Chazal would have allowed you to even do this. What's the other eitzah? Instead of having springs, instead of having ropes, you'll take money, you'll take your clothing, you'll pile it up, and you'll put a mattress on top, and you'll sleep that way. There is another option. And because it's another option, lav dafka, it's such a tzorech moyed, that it's poshit that Chazal would have allowed you to, at the very least, be memateach on some level. Another Mishnah, again discussing halachos of melacha and chol hamoed. And again discussing tziurim and exhibits and cases that we need to try to use our imagination a little bit to understand exactly what it means. Zok the Mishnah. Mamidin tanur v'keirayim v'reichayim b'moed. You're allowed to erect a tanur, a kirayim, and a reichayim on chol hamoed. So let's define these. Tanur and Kirayim, so Rashi gives us a definition. Actually gives us a technical definition, but what we need to know is a Tanur is an oven and a Kirayim is an oven. Now, when you learn Perakira, the third Perak of Masechta Shabbos, then you have to really get into what's a Tanur, what's a Kirayim, Grufa, Ketuma, Chananya, the Chachamim, Bisham, Bisil, some of the hardest stuff in the Chas, and boils down to a lot understanding the Metzias of what's the difference between a Tanur and what's the difference between a Kirayim. But for what we need to know is a Tanur Kirayim is an oven. It's something you need on Yontif and Chol Hamoed, potentially, because of Meleches Oichel Nefesh, and because of Simchas Yontif, so it's certainly something you can hear, is Nogeya L'Tzayrich Mayim, that's what the Mishnah says. Ma'amid and Tanav Ikirayim, even though it's a Melacha, and you can never do it on Shabbos and Yontif, but if you want to do it on Chol Hamoed, Masar HaKosav L'Chachamim, this is an example of a Melacha that's L'Tzayrich Mayim, as a result, you would be allowed to do it. What's a Rechayim? So Rechayim is a millstone, which was used in ancient times to mill, to grind wheat. So what we need from the Metzias perspective is that millstones were kishmoy kachi, they were stones. And the way it was set up is there were two very, very large round stones. One would sit on top of the other. There was a hole on top. You would put the wheat inside and they would go in between the mills. They had grooves in them, the stones themselves did, and you would dry them. And sometimes they had a chamor, as we'll see in the Gemara, that is what did the grinding. And regardless, the grooves of the stones would grind the wheat, and that's the way you had ground wheat. Regardless, it says the Mishnah, Ma'amid in Tanavi Kirayim, you're allowed to make a Tanavi Kirayim, you're also allowed to make a Rechayim on Cholomayim. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ein Mechapshin as a Rechayim B'tchila. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Tana Kirayim, yeah, I have no comment. Rechayim, I have a Ha'ara. Just one Ha'ara. The Ha'ara is, Ein Mechapshin as a Rechayim B'tchila. And in the spirit of the Daf, the Gemara begins and says, I need help with the definition. My mechapshin. What does this mean? Ein mechapshin asarichayim. Who said this? The Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara said, the Amiroim was struggling to understand what the Tana Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi meant when he said, Ein mechapshin asarichayim betchilos. So the Gemara says, there was a machlek. It's Rabbi Yehuda the Amiro Amar. He said, what it means is menaki reichayim. You're not allowed to make grooves in the reichayim. Rabbi Chil Omar, Rabbi Yechiel said, Bas Eina. It means you're not going to make the hole inside the Rechayim. Basically, if the Gemara will ask you a kasha, Ma'amid in Tanav Kirayim B'moyed, you're allowed to be Ma'amid in Tanav Kirayim B'cholamoyed, like the Mishnah said, Ubelvad Shlo Yigmer Malachta. You just have to make sure that you don't complete it. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, as I helped Rabbi Eliezer, V'chomim, V'chomim, say, Af Yigmer, when it comes to a Tanav Rechayim, you could even be Goymer. Rabbi Huda, Oymer Mishmoy. Rabbi Huda said in Rabbi Eliezer's name, Ma'amidin Esachadasha, you're allowed to be maimed, you're allowed to erect a new one. U'mechabshin es ha-yeshana. And you're allowed to be mechavesh a yeshana. The Yeshayim, his son said, ain't mechabshin kol ikar. They are not allowed to be mechavesh at all. So the Gemara says like this, just one technical question. Bishleim adam adam mechabshin menakir yichayah. Bishleim according to adam that says that what does mechabshin mean? It means to make grooves. Hainu the meshkachas of yeshana. I understand poshit the case without fully understanding the case, but at least there's a concept of being mechabesh a yeshana. What happens to grooves eventually? They wear out a little bit. As a result, they're not so sharp. They're not able to do what they're supposed to do. It's not such a sakina harifa anymore. So as a result, here we have halacha, that if you need to sharpen them, you can sharpen them. El mandama bas eina. But according to mandama that says, what does mechabsha mean? It means making the hole inside the millstones. Yishana bas eina lamala. You have it already. Where'd the hole go? So bishleim of the grooves, yeah, with time, they can go away. But in terms of the hole? It didn't go anywhere. So the Gemara says, not true. Kigoyim de kaboy larvuche tveporta. Maybe it means not to create the hole. You felt you had to widen it a little bit. And it's for that reason we're discussing mechapshin asayashana. But the Gemara was just bringing a raya from the words mechapshin asayashana. Isn't that a raya that it must mean lenake rechay? The Gemara says, no. Because maybe even a yeshana, sometimes you have to just expand the hole a little bit. Rafuna, shamilahu gavra. Rafuna once heard about a certain person to come menaker rechaya b'chayla d'mayada. He was doing this thing. He was being menaker rechaya. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do that. Or according to Rav Yehuda, the Amoyer is pshad, and Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, you're not allowed to do that. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein mechabshin as a rechayim betchila." And Rabbi Yehuda explained, it means you can't be menaker rechaya. You can't sharpen the grooves. So Rav Huna heard that somebody violated this halacha Omar, and he said the following, Man hai, whoever this person is, ischol gufe, his guf should be desecrated, the kamechel chayla de mayada, because he's being mechel chol amoy. And the Gemara says, Savala ki yesh oimrim, he obviously held like the yesh oimrim. So who's the yesh oimrim? So the yesh oimrim were mentioned in the Braisa as saying, in mechapshin kol ikar. You can never be mechabish. You have to know exactly what the case was. But this was a case of ein mechabshin kol ikar. And this person had violated that. And that's why Rav Huna said that this person for violating chol amoy is a very sharp line. That ischol gufa the komechel chol demayada, which is very matim with some of the raid that we spoke about earlier in the week. And that is hamavazas hamayada is ein lechelik loylam haba. The mechaber who speaks very sharply about someone that puts on tefillin on chol amoy. You see this theme in the discussion of Chol HaMoed. Ischol gufei de kamechel chol demayada. Darish Rav Chama. Rav Chama said the following drasha. He said, Noikrin rechayim b'moyed. You're allowed to make a hole inside the rechayim on Chol HaMoed. Mishum Rameir Amin. The name of Rameir was said, Afilu sus shereichel olav. If a person has a sus, a horse that he rides on, v'chamar shereichel olav, or a donkey that he rides on, muta lipol tziparnayim b'chol HaMoed. You're allowed to cut its nails on Chol HaMoed. So you're allowed to cut the nails of a sus and of a chamar. Even though it involves doing malacha, but it's considered letzairich mayet, letzairich the animals. It's something you're allowed to do. Why are we talking about that? We just said something about a rechayim, and all of a sudden we're now cutting the nails of a sus and a chamar. It's the next words. Aval chamra derechayolai. But the chamar that used to dry the millstone, that chamar's nails, you're not allowed to cut. The reason is because there's no tzairich. The chamar and the sus that's going to be galloping and working in the field, that needs his nails to be cut. As opposed to this, chamar v'shtait and nine plots, and all he's doing is a dreitzach v'yadreidel. So this person, that's already not an issue. Zok t'gemar, Rav Yehuda shor l'mishkol tufrei l'chamad rechai. Rav Yehuda allowed people to cut the nails of this chamar of the rechayim. Not just that, he also allowed l'ukmei rechaya. He allowed a person, Rashi says, to take the big stone and put it on top of the bottom stone. Ulev mivne rechaya. He also allowed people to actually build the millstones. Ulev mivne amas rechaya. Also to build the eights, Rashi says, that they used to put the rechayim on top of. Ulev mivne uria. Additionally, he allowed people to build an uria. Rashi says, refes bakar, a barn. Rav, some have the gear, so Rava shara lesruke susya. He allowed people to comb a horse, ulemivni arkpita. Rashi says that was the place that they used to put the tefuah in, so it was something you had to build, some sort of structure that all the tefuah is going to go in. Ulemivni itztaba, and to build the itztaba, Rashi says binyan avanim, just a small binyan made of stones. All these things are in cholamayt. Rava shar the mishkol damal the behemah b'chol the meyada. Rava allowed people to bloodlet, to take blood out of an animal in cholamayt. Amalei Abaya, Abaya told Rava Tanya Masayel, look, I have a brisa that supports you. Makiz and dam the behemah, you're allowed to be makiz dam for a behemah. You let a bloodlet for a behemoth. In fact, you're not supposed to withhold any davish al refuah for an animal on cholamoid. Rava shara likiskuse kirmi. Rava allowed someone to press. He allowed people to press clothing on cholamoid. My time. What's the reason? For maisa head yidhu. Because the elder was maisa head. You're doing the letzarech moid. Now, if it was a maisa umin like we saw earlier in the daf, then maybe he would have had his reservations. But because it was maisa head yid, so it's not a big deal. I'm Rav Yitzchak Barami. I'm Rav Chizdo. Kituri biri aser. Oh, if that's Pshat and Rav, I'll tell you a halacha. That if you want to not just simply press it, but you want to plead it, you want to add something a little bit more professional, that's already awesome. My time, my soul, because then it's going to already be my soul. So, stam in the veltaran to go ahead and to press your clothing, that's not okay. Now I know that because Rava said, my sahed, you know. So, to the extent it's my sahed, then it's going to be mutter. But once it's going to be already my soul, at that point, it's already not going to be okay. Zokti Gemara Vaita, Omar Rava. Rava said, man de maskal ara. If somebody, so Rashi says, what does it mean to be maskal ara? It means somebody that digs a ditch inside his field. So you want to dig a ditch on Chol Hamoed. So is this something you're allowed to do, or is it something that you're not allowed to do? So says the Gemara, really, it depends. Adaita de Beidari, if the reason you're doing it is because you want to create a threshing floor, you want to create a place that you'll be able to do dash, where you'll be able to thresh your tefuah, which is something you're allowed to do on Chol Hamoed Shari, then that's something you'd be allowed to do. Adaita de Ara. If, however, the reason you're digging this ditch is because you want to make the land better, also, that's not something you have a right to do on Chol Hamoed. So, if it's for the dash of the tefuah, which is a Meleches Oichel Nefesh, which you're allowed to do, so even though Chayfer is one of the Lamites Melaches, Chol Hamoed, Masnar Kasef Chachamim, this is something you could do. But if you're doing it to improve your land, that's not a tzarech moed achshav. That you could do that after Yontif. There's no reason we're not going to allow you to do it. Again, it's literally masnar kasev lechachamim in the minutia, in the detail. This maisa will allow you to do it if you have one kavana. We won't allow you to do it if you have a different kavana. So it's literally the kavana could determine whether you could do it or whether you can't do it. So the Gemara says, hey chidami, okay, just could you explain this example of how exactly this works? So the truth is, there's a shaila what the right girsa in the Gemara is. We have one girsa. Rashi has a different girsa. So we'll read it with Rashi's girsa, which is also the girsa of the Bach. So the girsa is as follows. Mulya b'mulya unotza b'notza adaita da'ara. If, when you're digging, you're going to dig up the land, like you're going to dig up the dirt. Let's say you have a mound of dirt. So you're going to dig up the mound of dirt, right? Take a shovel, and then you're going to put it right back down. So if you're doing that, it's adaita da'ara. Because really, the dirt's going to end up being in the same place that it was previously. What did you accomplish? One thing, you soften the land. And again, we're not farmers, but one thing we see from the beginning of my cotton, softening the land is good for planting. It's good for these things. So as a result, that must be you're doing it at Daita Da'ara. If that's what you're doing, it's not going to be okay. But Shakal Mulya Vishada Benotza or Faket. You took the nuts and you put it in the mulya. Adaita de Beidari. There it looks like you're doing it adaita de Beidari, and therefore it's going to be fine. So if you, for example, take a mound of dirt and you put it into a hole, so then already it looks like maybe you're just trying to create a nice flat surface for you to be able to do dash, then it's going to be fine. So again, if after you do all your work, the visual is exactly the way it was before, so what'd you do? The only thing you did was you must have softened the land a little bit. Okay, you softened the land a little bit, so if that's the case, then it's not okay because you're doing it at Daita Da'ara. If, however, you're smoothing out the land, you're taking a mound of dirt and you're putting it into a pit, you're putting it into a ditch. Okay, so now it is the tsura, anyways, of doing it at Daita Da'ara. And if you're doing it with a tzur of a daita de beidari, in that case, it's going to be okay. If Amar Rava, Rava said another thing. Hayman de zochi zichi. If somebody takes twigs and branches and he cleans up his field on Cholomoyd, a daita de tziv, if the reason you're doing it is because you want the wood, shari, it's moter. You're allowed to use the wood. It's a tzarech yontif. That's okay. A daita de ara. If, however, you're doing it, push it to improve the land, aser, it's going to be us. Heichi dami. Is there a way for us to know? Meaning, how do we know what his kavana is? Right? Why don't you just ask him? So it sounds like maybe there's Marisayan issues. I mean, it has to look to us as if what he's doing is really a daita de tziv. So how would you know that? So you want to say simple. Shakul rav reviva, shakul shavik zutri. If he takes the big ones and he leaves the small ones behind, a daita de tziv. Obviously, he wants wood because you don't take little pieces of wood and throw it into a fire. Shakul rav reviva zutri. If you take everything, then it looks like you're cleaning up. So if you want the wood, you would take the... So if a person takes the wood, that's good firewood, for example. Okay, so he's using it for his fire. It doesn't look like he's cleaning, because if he's cleaning, why would he only be cleaning the firewood? If, however, he takes everything, so then it looks like it's a daita da'ara. Very posh. If Amar Rava, Rava said, Hayman de pasach mayla are. If a person takes water, and he diverts it into his property. So it seems like there was like a river of water, and he figured out a way, fanegle, that the water... Similar to the beginning of the Masechta, it should go through his land. Zadaita de Kavri, if his kavana is because he wants to catch fish, the water of the river is going to go through your land, you may end up catching a fish. Seshari, then it's going to be muta. Daita da'ara, if however you're doing it to irrigate your land, asr, oh, then it's already asr, now you're getting involved in mashkin beis hashlochin, right, then it's a whole more complicated sugya. But what Rav is saying is that if your kavana is to catch the fish, then it's not complicated at all. Then it's going to be muta. Inevitably, you're going to irrigate your field. Davashin, mischavim, segration, cholamoy, this is the rabbanon, nichalei, loy nichalei, whatever. But the point is that's daf beis. For now, we need to know is if your kavana is to catch the fish, this is going to be okay. Someone says, heichidami is, how do you know that was what your kavana was or not what your kavana was? So the Gemara says like this, here's the clue. Pasach trei bavi, if the person that was diverting the water into his field, so he opened up two gates, chad meiloi v'chametatoi, one was a little higher, it was more elevated than the other one was. Then adaita de kivri. And clearly what he's trying to do, he's trying to catch the fish, because by doing it that way, the water is going to go in on top, and then it's going to come down on bottom. The fish are going to get stuck, so that must be what your kavana was. But pasach chad bava. But if he opened only one gate, then it looks like a daita da'ara. Then you want the water. Meaning, if he opened up two gates, so it looks like he wants the water to flow through. He doesn't want the water. Let the water just drain through. So what does he want? He wants the fish, and not just that. One on top, one on bottom. So clearly he's trying to catch a fish. That's what's going on over here. If you open up one gate, what's it look like? You want vaser. That's what you want. You're looking to irrigate your field. Oh, you're a mashkin beis, a shlochin beis, a baal tirchi yaseir. Getting involved in all those sugis, it's going to be much more complicated. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hayman de fashach dikla. A person wants to take branches off a tree. So taking branches off a tree, Rachman al-Utslan. That's Mamash Chil Shabbos. Chil Yontif. It's not something you're allowed to do, but it's Chol Amoy. And Masar Kosov L'Chachamim. There are times you're allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, what does it depend on? A Daita Dechiv Asir Rava said, if your Kavana is because you want food for your animals, they're going to eat these soft branches of the Dekel, of the palm tree. Sorry, it's going to be Mutah. Daita the Dikla. If, however, you're doing it for the tree itself, Asir, it's going to be, hey, Chidami, how do you know? Shakul Kul Mechad Gitzo. If you take everything from one side, adaita dechevas. Obviously, all you're thinking about is your animals. Mehaygis and mehaygis. If you take it from both sides, it looks like you're trimming your tree. Adaita dediklo. Then it looks like you're doing adaita dediklo. For us, it's going to be us. One more gemara. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hani tamri tuchloni. If somebody has unripened dates, migzerinu shari. If you want to cut them, it's mutter. Maitzinu, however, to press them, Aser is going to be Aser. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa said, not necessarily. Kivan de masli. What happens is these dates can sometimes become wormy. They can spoil in the event that you don't press them. And it's for that reason, kiprak matyah ha'ovid dami. If you're not going to press again, it's going to be considered a davar ha'ovid. The shari, it's going to be mutter. And we are going to stop here.